The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning and welcome to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And it's going to be a great show. I have a really, really interesting guest lined up, and I've been waiting for him to come on for a while. Jason Voss from the CFA and the author of The Intuitive Investor will join us. But we wanted to wait till we had a double segment available, and I think you're really going to enjoy Jason and his very unique approach to the market, very successful fund manager himself, and we're looking forward to that. And let me kind of jump right into the segment I take to kind of update you with what my eyes are seeing. And, you know, I said last week on the show that we're in this little volatile period of time. I had written a press release that went out to the major press on January 21st, and it was just kind of one of those things I felt in my back, and I said, look for a sharp, sudden, and scary sell-off. And as soon as it does, we're all kind of calling for it. All the professionals in the business said, it's been too long without a pullback. It's been too long of an easy ride. And what we need is a pullback. And then once we get the pullback, we can feel good about buying again. And I said, watch when the pullback comes. Immediately, you'll be hearing about this is the beginning of the end. This is not a correction. This is not a pullback. This is the beginning of the end. And, you know, yesterday I wrote another article, and I don't think we kind of released it yet. There's compliance and issues we need to deal with as being a FINRA member and working with KCD. But I was watching the TV a little bit, and I just said to myself, you know what? This is actually really, really close. This is really close. I watch all these watch lists very carefully, and again, I got aggressive yesterday, and again, I don't want to talk about the day in and the day out because that's not what this show is about, but I'm planning to speak in three different places in Dallas, and as I'm preparing for next week's talks and getting my thoughts together, a couple of thoughts I just want to kind of share with you that are really important. And, you know, I mentioned in the very beginning, you know, Magnet is a quantitative method, and the Magnet method of investing, the Magnet investing, the original book written. If you haven't read them yet, folks, get yourself up to speed. It's a belief that I have that you could blend quantitative financial metrics into value growth and momentum and create my own model. But even though I believe in this and the math behind it, I remind everybody that the market itself is not completely logical. It just doesn't follow math perfectly. And at least usually, it's at least 50% psychological. And right now, I've said for the last couple of years, it's been even more than that. And let me just give you a couple of examples and a couple, you know, major beliefs I have. And first of all, if you don't know what to buy and you don't know how to handle a portfolio, the stock market is not for everybody. It's made to look a little easier than it is. It's very counterintuitive at times. It becomes very scary at times. And then also sometimes it becomes almost too easy and it lulls you into a false hubris, and then people take too many risks. But all that aside, the market remains extremely emotional. A couple of years ago, you may remember I was working at a major trading firm in New York City, And these guys all claim to be cool-handed, cool-headed, relaxed and unemotional. And I remember being there the day the huge quake came and in Japan, they had the nuclear spill and the nuclear reactor issue. And again, they brought guys on TV literally shrieking and screaming that, no, you don't understand. This could be a global nuclear meltdown. And I watched everyone's faces. I watched the market starting to tank. And then right about an hour later, I said, you know what? If you're planning on a global nuclear meltdown and you've sold your shares in fear, there's no better time to step in and buy than right then. And again, it was another nice turning point. And all you really have to do is, if you can develop kind of in your gut some sort of barometer that tells you that all you're hearing is buy, 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 I want to buy everything in sight, everything looks good, the market's rosy, that's the time when invariably the market wants to pull back, if not go into a fledging sell-off, because people have their money squarely put in the middle of the pie, if you will. And when the pullback comes, the money's not there to buy the pullback. Now, on the other hand, all I hear, despite the incredible bull market since 2009, is that this is fake, this is Fed-induced, this is nonsense, I don't trust Wall Street, I don't want to have my money in the market. What I really want to do is sit in safe 1% bonds, 0% bonds. Remember when the Treasuries actually had a negative yield for a couple weeks? And people, anything but the market. Now you're talking about the market's going down. So again, I stepped in, and that doesn't mean, again, I buy everything or I think the market needs to be bought. The whole premise behind what I believe and what I've always talked about is that the market is not what I'm interested in. I'm only interested in those handful of companies, just a couple dozen per cycle, that have a combination of accelerating revenues, accelerating profit margins, and accelerating cash flow. Those companies that also have some institutional sponsor coming in behind that, call it the magnet. People can't resist these stocks for more than a couple quarters. And once they string a couple quarters of this together, boy, all the big boys, all the newsletter writers, all the analysts want to jump behind them. So, again, the trick is, if there is any trick, is being a little bit early, being willing to buy names that maybe not everybody has heard of, and also then to buy those names that you have heard of and you feel very comfortable with, but that have a sharp or sustained pullback, and especially, folks, if that happens on light volume. So that's the micro picture. But backing up just a minute, you know, something I'm going to really share, and I think you really need to understand, thinking a little bit longer term, is that there's two types of sell-offs or bear market, and one of them is accompanied by a recession. And when you see recessions coming, it just gets ugly. And the fact is, nobody has tamed the business cycle. Nobody ever will. It gets too hot. It gets too cold. And during recessions and real earnings problems, pessimism comes in, corporate slashing comes in, slashing jobs comes in, and you can see the market pull back 40%, and that's a normal level, 40%. So we saw two 50% pullbacks and even more in the last decade of 2000. So people are scarred and people are really destroyed emotionally. But 40% happens, and then guess what? The next bull market usually does more than 150 to 200% off of that bottom. So if you ride those cycles, which is very difficult to do, a 40% pullback sounds untenable, unacceptable, unlivable, until you get the flip side and you get the bull back again. But the point I'm getting at is, we have an extremely steep yield curve. I've simply been saying this now for 5 years, and there has yet to be a single ever recession with a steep yield curve. So I keep my eye on that yield curve. I just updated it for this talk. And folks, it's as steep as it gets. So just don't mind the recession, people, until it gets inverted. And then when I tell you the yield curve is inverted, don't be listening to the people saying, well, don't worry about it this time. Yield curve doesn't really matter. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing really important is that I came across some research trying to talk about not being overly focused on the economy itself. And, you know, one of the things that's super, super important is that I came across these quotes. The U.S. happens to be rich in globally competitive multination corporations. If a U.S. company builds a factory in China or, folks, anywhere else, substitute the name, if a U.S. company builds a factory in China and sells to Chinese consumers, it does not add to the U.S. GDP. Unbelievable. Okay, so we happen to have all these global companies selling things all over the world. We talk about people, in fact, that we don't manufacture anything anymore. One of the things that doesn't go into the manufacturing is actually the entertainment industry. And we saw, of course, one of the great entertainment companies of the last couple generations report today, shoot up to new high levels. And none of that is factored into manufacturing. So all the movies, the iconic cartoons, and everything else associated with the entertainment music world, folks, that's not manufacturing, but that's an awful lot of business that gets done. And so what I really want to do now is just tell you that under no condition do I feel afraid of the market right now. I continue to hear all kinds of bantering about what the public thinks, what the public believes. But you know what? I don't see the public rushing in to buy anything involved with the stock market, period. I think that individual investors out there are just absolutely, simply underinvested. They don't really quite understand the powers that inflation have on eroding your purchasing power over time. But we'll get to that, and we'll get to lots more at the end of the show. What I want to do is kind of set up for our guest, Jason Voss, and he's written a great book called The Intuitive Investor. I think that you'll hear Jason talk a little differently than the Wall Street speak. I met Jason at a great conference he facilitated, and by the way he spoke and the way he handled himself, it turns out he's written a fabulous book called The Intuitive Investor. I've been reading. I haven't quite finished it, but I'm loving it. And we'll take a quick break. We're going to come back with Jason Voss after this. So we're going to hear a little bit more about maybe a different way to think and a different way to think about investing. So we're going to take a quick break here right now. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing right after this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Do you-
you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. And several months ago, I attended a conference that was facilitated by Jason Voss. And I just loved the way he spoke. I loved the way he acted. And we got to talking a little bit. Jason actually has written a fabulous book called The Intuitive Investor. He was a very successful fund manager. And now he's the content director over at the CFA in New York City. And Jason, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, and thanks for that introduction. Yeah, this book that you like is definitely has carved out a unique space, but it was born of that fund management career you referred to. I spent almost a decade managing the Davis Appreciation and Income Fund, and I learned pretty quickly that most of what I was reading, both in my MBA education as well as the CFA charter, was not what I was using, nor did I believe it was what most people were using to generate good investment returns.
Well, okay, and so what I want to get into here, and we'll have some time for it, is you put up some terrific numbers, but, you know, what I always talk about, Jason, is not necessarily following the herd mentality, not thinking like the herd either, and, you know, I know that the way the herd works, they get average returns, and, you know, if you want to take a little time on what the fund performance was or what the fund's objectives are, we could do that, but I'm sure that didn't limit you in your thinking about all other sectors, maybe, you know, some growth sectors in the market as a whole.
Yeah, this philosophy, which was how to balance the left brain and the right brain, was born of, you know, this challenge I met as in the first couple of weeks of being a research analyst. And I had a stack of about 24 inches of research reports on my desk, and I thought my job was to read through all of these things and master all of that information, all that knowledge. And I thought then, okay, once I've identified something that sounds interesting there, I do discounted cash flow analysis, blah, blah. And I did do all of that. But what I recognized was that there was no such thing as a future fact. Try as we might, there's no getting around that fact as an investor. And what's interesting about that, there is no such thing as a future fact realization, is that investing unfolds in the future. So I recognize this disconnect. And I also recognize that facts, by definition, have occurred in the past. And so why am I reading all of this data when I don't have any sort of inkling of whether or not that data will repeat? And so that opened up sort of a crack in my consciousness. And I was like, you know what? I've got to do something different. I can't do what everybody else is doing, which is what you just alluded to, or I'm going to get the same results as everybody else. And so I recognize I've got to be more creative. I've got to be more intuitive. I've got to be more right-brained if I'm going to do better than everybody else, because they're all looking at these same facts that I'm looking at right here. What makes a difference is I've got to it's how I see those facts. It's how I understand the story behind those facts and how that story might unfold in the future that's going to make the difference. So that was my approach as a professional, and you alluded to the results. I beat the S&P 500 by 49.1% over the course of my career, and was routinely a five-star fund as ranked by Morningstar, and was a Lipper number one for several time periods. And it was all because of this right brain orientation. So Ask away your questions, but that's
Let me throw something in here, and you know, we have a whole double segment we're going to take. And again, you know, one of the great things that you did in the meeting that I attended was you brought up meditation, which seems to be more and more on people's lips and minds. In fact, you know, Time magazine just last week or so, they had to cover the Mindful Revolution, and we're going to spend some time on that in the whole next segment. One of the things that you referenced very early on, I think it's an important part of the discussion, was this book that I loved that I read years ago called The Dow Jones Averages, spelled T-A-O. And I'd love you to just get into the discussion of what that is and why that was meaningful to you as well.
Yeah, the Dow Jones Averages by Bennett Goodspeed. It was meaningful because he, prior to this book I've written, The Intuitive Investor, was one of the few people to recognize that investing is both art and science, but he dared to tackle the art portion of it. Usually you're left to your own devices, and people in the investment business will say, well, over time you'll get experience, and they treat the artful aspects of investing as serendipitous. In other words, they happen accidentally. And I rejected that. I absolutely rejected that. And I spent a lot of my career trying to develop not just the left brain tools, which I deployed with, you know, a lot of success, but also, like, what can I do that right brain-wise will make me a better investor? And so, like, to give you an example of that, a right brain orientation, is you brought up the meditation aspect of it. And meditation has the ability to put you exactly in that state of consciousness where the right brain flourishes, and it starts to see the world in a different sort of a way. And I do this exercise with people, which I think might be useful for your audience to sort of hear the difference in what we're talking about here. And I know, Jordan, you understand this. And that exercise is simply to tune into the temperature of the room, of the space you're in. And when most people do this, and they spend, you know, 30 seconds doing it, they immediately start thinking about it in, you know, the following ways. And one way is, this is a stupid exercise, or I think the temperature of the room is about 68 degrees. I could stand for it to be a little bit warmer, and so on and so forth. And they immediately take that feeling of what's going on around them, and they turn it into a left brain I don't know what to describe it as.
Quantitative number.
Yeah, exactly. Numbers are words, which the left brain is very good at. They're very linear, right? Words only have meaning in a linear fashion. You can't read a book backwards, for example, and numbers also linear. But the right brain is working on a different frequency. It's working more on the feeling sort of orientation of things. How do I feel about this executive? How do I feel about the market right now? So once you recognize that you're taking the entire world around you, you're immediately turning into left brain information, you realize, oh, the temperature of the room exists independently of my ability to describe it. My dog can also experience the temperature of the room. It sort of opens you up, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm missing a whole lot of information that's there that I'm not paying attention to because it's either not described by numbers, so it's not in the annual report, or it's not describable by words. You know, and once you start to listen to the feeling aspect of things. How do I feel about the market right now? You know, what's going on in emerging markets? What do I think about the Fed taper, et cetera? That's another source of information on top of the actual press release that you might read about the Fed taper. It's a whole other source of information that might be in an annual report. And so there's this whole vast world and apparatus that exists out there that people never pay attention to.
Right. And so I love that, Jason. What you're talking about is being willing to actually talk about the feeling side, the voice of the CEO when he was talking to you, the look in his eye, the feeling that you were getting when you were talking to him. Did you believe it or did you not? And, you know, what it reminds me of is George Soros and his theory of reflexivity. And his son said, bull crap, you know, when my dad got a bad back, he knew something was wrong and he knew to flip directions. Have you ever heard that?
I have, yeah. In fact, I'm a big fan of reflexivity, and I've also heard that Soros would take what was going on in his body physically as a sign of information that he needed to pay attention to. And that's in fact, a portion of what I teach in The Intuitive Investor.
Exactly, and I think that that's so critical. And you know what I want to do is I want to spend a little bit more time, you know, on something that you touched on, and then we'll come back to the creativity and enhancing the creativity. But you mentioned something about the future fact and that it doesn't really exist. And what I really want to bring out here is that you come up with a discussion that sometimes good decisions are better than the perfect decision. I'll even substitute the no decision. And what I mean is people just get stuck and paralyzed trying to get to an answer instead of understanding there is no perfect solution or there is no perfect answer. I want you to just touch on the willingness and ability of you to make a decision without absolutely knowing the future, because nobody does.
Yeah, what you're touching on is what I call attitude 3 in 7 essential investor attitudes. And what you're after as an investor is to get your mind as in accord with reality as is possible. And if you do that, then you can be certain that you're discounting what's around you more accurately. So this attitude of a good decision is most often greater than or equal to the perfect decision is designed to remove the anxiety that many people have as investors that they have to make the perfect decision. And I learned this lesson while studying environmental economics. And there's a classic case study of cleaning up, I believe it's the Hudson River, and they had a, you know, I'm going to make up the numbers, $100 million budget to clean up the Hudson River. And to get it 90% clean took 10% of that money, or $10 million. But to get it 99% clean took the remaining $90 million in order to get it there. And this is almost like a law of nature, that perfection is extraordinarily expensive. And many investors, and this was true of analysts that used to work with me, they sweated every last detail. And all they did is add anxiety to the process. And when they're feeling anxious, then they're actually not in accord with reality. They're stuck in their own emotional apparatus, and they're not seeing what's going on around them. And oftentimes, a critical piece of information or a critical timing in the market is missed because you're sweating that last thing. So this is designed as an attitude so that you have it as an orientation of how you see the world, so that you're not obsessing with the perfect decision, so that you can hopefully, you know, see things better.
Right, and that's such a perfect discussion, Jason, because, you know, we all know that a tense and nervous individual just can't perform nearly as well as somebody who's relaxed. And by putting yourself into that relaxed state of mind and putting yourself to available, opened up to get all these other signals from both the left and the right brain, I think, is what's made you so successful. And what I want to do here, but we're going to come up to a break in a minute, Jason. So before we do that, I know you have your own website and you love to share information. The name of the book, folks, is called The Intuitive Investor, a radical guide for manifesting wealth. I actually am completely enjoying the book, and I do read a little slow, so I like to get everything in there. But why don't you share maybe some website information or any other information you want to share before the break?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, people can find out more information about me at jasonapollovoss.com, or they can go to intuitiveinvestor.com, which will redirect to my site. And there is the blog that I wrote for a number of years on there, which contains a lot of good information. There's information about my background, and I have links to some kind of cool information there, too. So it's well worth checking out.
Terrific. And I love that idea of maintaining a log and notebook and entering feelings and emotions and insights and having that to look back on in the future. Clearly the sight of somebody willing to open up their mind and get even better. So it's Jason Voss. We'll take a real quick break. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing following this.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. We're talking with Jason Voss, the author of The Intuitive Investor. And he's over at content director at the CFA right now in New York City. And Jason, we were talking about in your book how you're describing, you know, the need to make a good decision, the best decision, rather than maybe the perfect decision and hesitating until almost the moment has passed. And I think you have your unique way you've talked about getting to that decision and using meditation to get you there. And I really want to hear more about that.
Yeah, not a problem. Meditation is one of these subjects that I think most people misunderstand and to a huge degree. And I think that when we in the West tend to think of it, we think of the shaven-headed cave dweller. And it makes sense that we think about it this way because our first encounters with the cultures where there's an ingrained meditation tradition were with the monks and the ascetic practitioners of meditation. Yet the Western point of view, which seems to be growing, is that, and it comes from science, is that meditation is simply a state of mind. It's a state of consciousness that science has demonstrated we each achieve every single day, but we tend to miss it. We don't know when it's happening. And in fact, there's a portion of our language that speaks out against meditation. So we'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I was spacing out, right? That's a common thing that we've all probably said. Yet it's in those moments that most likely you're in some sort of meditative state. And what's powerful about meditation is it is absolutely the bridging of the left brain and the right brain. You get to have the advantages of both. And so the question is, and this is the most important thing I can convey to the listeners today, is how do you meditate? What's a quick and dirty or what's an easy way to be able to get into a meditative state? And in the book, The Intuitive Investor, I have this simple exercise, which is to ask yourself, what do you do that rejuvenates you? And the answer to that question, whether it's running or playing racquetball, sweeping a floor, which is one of my personal favorites, whether it's doing some sort of artistic thing, you know, like some people write poetry, they like to paint or draw or doodle, even doodling, right, it can put you in a weak meditative state. All of these things that people do to rejuvenate them just so happen to be the things that put them into a meditative state of mind. So I advocate that why adopt all these difficult practices of many meditation traditions where you have perfect posture and you have to sit in a particular way with your back straight and you have to have a mantra that you repeat and what have you. And all of that is valid. And in fact, I've taught meditation for many years. the quick and easiest way to get there is to do what rejuvenates you. And once you're in that meditative state of mind, then you can do all sorts of kinds of magical things, whether it's investing or, you know, figure out your spouse. Right?
I mean, right. No, I love that. And so you take the pressure off of, you know, the place, the location, the seat, and, you know, take the pressure off. Why can't I calm my mind down? Do something that just engages you completely, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the reason this works, by the way, and scientists just starting to grasp this, and I know this already as a meditator, but, you know, oftentimes science takes years to recognize what we all know, you know, intuitively, dare I say it. And what I know is that the reason that these things work, right, jogging, playing sports, sweeping, cleaning, doing art, gardening, whatever, they work because they give the left brain, which tends to be hyperactive, they give that left brain something to do, right? So if you're sweeping the floor, you have your left brain is looking for the parts that are dirty. It's looking for the fur off your dog that's stuck under the refrigerator kind of a thing, right? And just giving it that little bit of something to do, all of a sudden you're sweeping the floor and you realize, oh, you know what? The thing that's going on in the emerging markets right now, I have to be more intelligent about this. I can't just see the emerging markets as this blanket generalization about every country. Namibia is very different than Turkey, which is very different from Vietnam, which is very different from Brazil. And you start to have these sorts of realizations when you're doing these things that rejuvenate you.
Right. No, I think what you're saying is really, really, you know, just great stuff. And I want to ask you this. I know that, you know, managing a fund for 10 years is a long period of time, and you know, I always talk about the bell curve. Only one guy can be the Lippert number one, so I just really hats off to what you've done. But somewhere along the line, you kind of got this realization that the reason your performance was better is because you were thinking differently. And like, I want to ask you kind of like, when did that come? And I know you end your book with real world stories, and I know that, you know, and some listeners are going to really want to hear a couple of those too.
Well, that, I think if I understand you correctly, the heart of your question, what you're after, is when did you know that you were looking at reality accurately? How did you know that you were seeing things that nobody else was seeing? I got that right?
Exactly. You know, more like how did you, like when you realize that, hey, I'm actually thinking different and this is better?
You know, I think I was freed up by – nobody's ever asked me that, by the way, so kudos to you. I think it was when I finally got the right analogy. And, in fact, I spend part of the Intuitive Investor talking about how important the right analogy is for understanding things.
Mm-hmm.
And that analogy was that investing is like detective work. And what I mean by that is if you had a crime scene, say a bank robbery, and you invited 10 detectives to that crime scene, yes, there's something to be said for the diligent gathering of the facts, whether that's fingerprints or blood splatter, or I mean, I guess in a bank robbery you wouldn't necessarily have that, and so on and so forth. But the detective that solves the crime is not the person who gathers the facts the most diligently, though there's something to say about that. It's the detective that knows which facts from amongst all of those is the most important or among the most important. It's the detective that sees the story that makes all the facts make sense. It's the detective that understands motive, right, and the human condition and can see the actions that are represented before them in those facts of the crime scene. They can see the person that created that crime scene. And that's the understanding that analogy, I was like, oh my God, there's something here that I have to pay attention to, because that is exactly the detective that solves the crime. That is exactly the investor that makes the difference. And I referenced earlier in the call this literally 24-inch stack of mail that I used to get from the sell-side community, which were all these research reports that they sent out and, you know, the global macro outlook and, you know, blah, blah. And I just was overwhelmed. And after a while, and it was triggered almost accidentally. I just didn't have enough time in the day to consume all that stuff, so I just started getting what I thought was lazy about it. So I just started reading the headlines, and I just started skimming this material, and my investment results got much, much better because I was not obsessed with the knowledge. What I was obsessed with was understanding information, period, and not just building up, you know, a bunch of useless information. So I shifted the problem from a knowledge-based, intelligence-based thing to what I'll call the wisdom based situation and that, or a creative based situation, which is, which facts are important? How do I understand reality here? How can I look at three facts that will help me understand the reality as opposed to 1700 facts, which will just confuse me? So that realization, the detective analogy, is really what freed my mind.
Right. Well, you know, I love what you just said, and it ties into something you said earlier, if I could, because one of my mentors talked to me about being the detective every day. But what you're saying to me, what I'm hearing, is that because you talk about being rooted in reality and trying to understand reality, so rather than trying to talk yourself into the predisposition that you already have or you know, defend your theory, what you're really saying is, I want to look at the facts independently, and I want to come to the conclusion of what is reality, not what I wish would happen, or maybe what some other people in the research report might be trying to allude to.
Yeah, exactly. And implicit, what you just said is also another realization, which is, to the degree which I am as a human being distorted, right, and I'm bringing my emotions to bear on a problem and my preferences and my prejudices about the world,
exactly,
I'm also not going to see reality. So I kind of talk about this model of, there's an independent objective reality out there. Then there's you and all your preferences and your emotional predispositions, and, you know, you may be having a bad day, you may have a tummy ache, or, you know, whatever it is. There's you, and there's you. That's the filter between you and the truth, and your consciousness's understanding of that truth. So it's about finding the facts in the objective reality, which are relevant, right, out in the information landscape. But it's also about, you have to understand yourself really well, which meditation is also great for helping you with, so that you can remove your own distortions, so that if you're confronted with reality, you actually see it for what it is, as opposed to what you'd like it to be.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you've talked to us about some really powerful things today, and I want to even take one step further in that, you know, the whole talk about magnet investing, we all want to be a better investor, but we also want to be a better holistic overall. And so I think the discussion about meditation that you just got to not only makes you a better investor, I think that probably improves your health, and probably also improves your other walks of life as well, is what I'm hearing from you.
Well, that's absolutely the case. And one of the things that it has as an unintended consequence, when you begin to occupy more of your right brain and you start to activate your right brain, so it's the natural partner and equal partner to your left brain, a miraculous thing happens. All of a sudden, you're seeing and understanding things instantaneously. And so the shocking thing is this little investment in meditation every day, all of a sudden, you get hours of your time back, because instead of spending hours trying to understand something, you understand things much more quickly. And people are always shocked when I tell them that when I first began my career, I was working around 90 to 100 hours a week. And if anybody out there has ever worked that kind of schedule, you know that's about 5 to 10 minutes a day personally to yourself. That is not much time at all. That's every day of the week. That's almost no time. But by the time I finished my career, the actual time I was working, I mean, my mind was always the mind of an investor. So, you know, when I was not in work, I was still working as an investor. You know, I would have a conversation with you at a conference, Jordan, and, you know, we'd start talking about investing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual time dedicated to it. I was working maybe 35 hours a week, but my returns were much, much better. And yes, I gained experience along the way, but I attribute entirely to the idea that I wasn't doing what other people were doing. I was much more right brain oriented. I had a balanced consciousness, so I could see things instantaneously because I made this little investment in meditation.
Right. And, you know, Jason, when you put up numbers like you did, it's great to step forward and share the why, and I think your book is just really great, great reading for everyone who wants to not only get more out of investing, but probably also more out of their life. So I want to thank you for coming on, Jason. It's The Intuitive Investor, folks. Get that book, read the book, and go to Jason's blog. And one more time, Jason, I think it's just your name, right? JasonApolloVoss.com?
That's correct.
Alrighty, and you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation as much as I'm enjoying the book. I hope you did too. I hope your listeners did. And continued success over there at the CFA in your personal investing, now that you stop managing other people's money now.
I have, and thanks, Jordan, very much for having me. It's a rare opportunity to get to talk about what is still some kind of radical ideas.
Well, I'm glad you're willing to share them, and I'm going to look to join you for lunch one time soon when I finish up the book. Folks, that's Jason Voss, one more time, the Intuitive Investor. We'll take a real quick break. Thanks to Jason for sharing his thoughts, and we'll be right back with more Magnet Investing following the break.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Game-changing technologies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up the status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take a coffee break with Game Changers on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for our special series on today's top big data innovators. Learn about emerging big trends and technologies and how you can grow your business and profit. Startup Focus with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magnet Investing. And I hope you enjoyed that segment with Jason Voss as much as I did. You know, when I was reading his book, one of the first book he references is this Dow Jones Investing, which is just a fabulous read back then. And, you know, what they were talking about is, you know, this is a stereotype, but men have a left brain tendency and women have a right brain tendency. And if you were having an investment team, the best team actually would be a man and a woman working together. And that's, you know, really just an interesting way to think about it, because so many people, you know, are focused on their math skills, their analytical skills. And then, again, early in my career, I came across a Michael Burke, who I'd love to have on the show sometime soon. I know he's retired, but he was really the master in what's called point and figure theory, which breaks all charts down into just a very simple discussion of supply and demand. And, you know, what's more important than supply and demand? Basically, really nothing when it comes down to the movement of prices, whether it's home, gold, or the real estate market. And so Michael would talk to me about every day, every single day, just be a detective and don't have any preconceptions on what you think is going to happen or think is happening, but the clues you want to look at are the new highs to new lows every day. Well, right now we see the number of new lows expanding, the new highs really contracting, so we know this is a market that is really tough to navigate right now, a market that's a little bit more dangerous. You look at the number of new lows to new highs, advances to declines, not what you think is going to happen, but that's really like a barometer, a thermometer of the exact market. And then you go in, you could do that for each sector. Which sectors are actually gaining relative strength, which are losing relative strength. And then by doing that, again, the next move for me, the obvious move, is to run Magnet to look at which companies in each sector are actually at that point the either the highest or lowest ranked magnet stocks. And yeah, it's good for shorting or for going long, but it's not because I think that because the Fed is going to raise rates and Argentina is going to do this and the Soviets are going to do this and this chain of event, this, I'm just not that good at that. And maybe some others are, but you know what? Most economists are proven wrong almost all the time anyway. So rather than predict what's going to happen and come out with these far-fetched cause and effect, what I like to do is get simple, look actually at the facts, look at the clues, read the clues, determine how healthy is the market. Certainly, I've talked all the time on this show, when there's thunder and lightning on the golf course, I don't care how good your golf game is, get off the course. And meanwhile, when it's sunny and beautiful, well, then you actually have to have your golf game and you have to have the golf shot. So it's not only the weather that's going to do it, but it's going to be the weather that's going to tell you, hey, just get off the course for a little while, take it a little slower, get your foot off the gas. And so this is exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a market itself that is scaring people. It has scared lots of large companies, small companies alike, right into some good positions, at least from what I'm seeing, on valuation and chart. That does not mean, again, that the market is this or the market is that. The same way I would never say kids in California are good athletes because the weather's good. It's about the dumbest, you know, comment you could make. Maybe some kids are good athletes there. Maybe some kids have asthma, have never touched a ball in their life. So it's a matter of looking a little bit deeper. And, you know, we're constantly just in this discussion about the market this, the market that. Now, again, yesterday I tried, maybe it will go out today, equities.com. If you haven't been over to their site, runs a lot of articles, anything I'll write. It just takes a little time to get the articles actually up there because we are FINRA regulated. We are in an investment world where there's a lot of rules to play, and that's the good news. The good news is these things keep us and keep everyone kind of on the right course and out of trouble. And why am I doing that? The reason I'm doing that is so that once again I can actually step up and manage your money for you. I could help you in any way, whether it's a managed account, whether it's my private fund. So what I'll encourage everyone to do, give us a phone call. What I've said over at KCD, it's a Midwestern firm with Midwestern values. Someone actually answers the phone every time you call during the day. So the direct line, if you want to talk to me, 920-347-3400, or even shoot me an email at jkimmel@kcdfinancial.com. I think one of the best tools that I could offer you, I used to sell my research to institutions just so they can see what ranks up highest on my model. Well, folks, you can step up, have your own portfolio, whatever you own in your portfolio, and have it ranked on my model just to see how it ranks according to Magnet. I'd be happy also to share with you what are the top ranks in each sector. More importantly, though, rather than going on CNBC and Fox when I do, rather than come on the show once a week, or even in writing where we try to be as timely as possible, folks, the only way to really get my insight, the only real way to get what I'm doing is to have me help you directly. So don't be shy. It's jkimmel@kcdfinancial.com, my direct email, or call the headquarters. They'll put you right in touch with me. And what we have right now is just guests literally lined up for weeks. I think the show is taking on a new life. I think that Jason Voss shared really some of the secrets that led him to be the number one in his sector in mutual funds for 10 years. That's just a great accomplishment. And whenever you can, if you have the ability to get the insights from the people that have done it are doing it rather than folks that just theorize and have some opinions on how things might work. Really, that's how you make the most amount of money, emulating the best. I've read everyone's book that I could, everyone that has a little secret sauce. What I've tried to do is learn what they're doing, how they're doing it, rather than competing with them, trying to see if I could incorporate that into what I do, see if it makes me even a better investor. And this concept of being more mindful, I can't tell you how many people, how many different times over the last 12 months people have told me they've improved what they've done through meditating. So rather than get stiff on a chair right now, maybe what I'll do is I'll go sweep the floor or one of Jason's tricks on how to get into that state. And in the meantime, wish for warmer weather. I know these are seasons, but this winter is getting to me over here. I look out my window. All I see is snow and more snow. So hopefully you have a safe and dry, warm week. But most of all, folks, do not let the hysteria of the media drive you crazy. Have a plan, stick with the plan, and let me know if there's any way I could help you. One more time, have a great week. Thanks to Brad running the engineering. Thanks to everyone at Voice America running a great network. And contact me directly, Jay Kimmel at KCD, Kimmel, Charlie, David, Financial.com, Jordan, Jay Kimmel at KCD Financial. Have a wonderful week, folks. Hope you enjoyed the show. See you next week right here on Voice America. See you then.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magna Investing right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.